at you all bopping your head.
Love that song, man. All come on.
Pumped up and shit.
Annie Sorrow gets me hyped.
An old gray sky eternal. Welcome to another Papa's Football Podcast. I am your host, John Papagiorgio. With me today, Howard Flood. Please, if you're listening, take the time to visit the show's website, pfpod.com. Go there for our patented power rankings, something that we came up with and no other site before or since has done. And you can also find, lo and behold, the podcast there. Funny how that works. You got our contact info listed there, the iTunes subscription link. If you're a big fan, you want to help us out, we don't ask for any money, anything like that. Literally, just go to iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, rank us positively, tell your friends all that shit. So I guess we ask for a ton. But it's not money. It's not money.
You can send your money to me.
I'd like their money, too. We just don't have a means of getting it right now. So for the, you know, in the meantime, I can be Mr. Friend.
Yeah, of course. We
Mr.
love you
Free,
guys.
I'm your pusher. Someday, I hope to take a lot of their cash. But for now, there is so much to get to this week. Even if you ask me, this upcoming spate of games coming up on this weekend, it sucks, in my opinion. And just like last week, we've hit that point of the season where certain dogs have emerged, and so their games just kind of suck shit by default. Everyone has a great storyline going into the season, but by week eight, if you're like 2-6, it's a flying fuck.
Actually, I think some of the AFC teams are still going to hang in it, even though they're hovering right around 500. But in the NFC especially, I think very few teams have been eliminated because the NFC sucks so bad. There's some hope.
It's true. And there's a lot of weak divisions. Hell, the Giants have won two in a row and suddenly are very much alive in the East. I mean, what the hell? Yeah. There's a lot to get to. We have, for my money, the interesting things, the trade deadline is come and gone. Seeing Jared Allen stay put, seeing Tony Gonzalez, man, that guy's doomed to retire without a ring now. Seeing him stay put.
Sorry, man, I think the Falcons are one of those teams that could still make the playoffs.
I mean, anyone could, again, in the NFC get that second wild card.
Well, not anybody. Nobody from the NFC East is getting the second wild card.
What, the fucking Falcons have the same record as everybody in the NFC East? Why are they able to? You think they're going to catch the Saints?
Unlike the NFC East, the Falcons are a team that can beat people outside their own division.
They haven't shown it yet.
Yet, but, I mean, come on, I'm telling you, when Steven Jackson is, like, on track, that
he's
offense
been around.
Will look different.
He's been around. Has he not? Was he not back last week and they still lost?
I'm going to say he wasn't 100%.
Dude, he's like a 30-year-old running back. It's not going to get prettier for him.
He was pretty good, like, at the very start of the season. So, if he gets his mojo back, watch out for that team to get the second wild card spot.
There's a lot from last week. The Cowboys getting their hearts torn out, Temple of Doom style, again in the final seconds of the game. The Seahawks, the world beaters of the NFC, according to many, barely pulling it off against a toothless Rams team.
Sam Bradford is out, and the Rams almost beat them.
And I mean, it took a miracle at the goal line to keep them from losing. A miracle. But I want to start today with some drama for the Redskins. Two different articles making their way through the blog sphere. I'm a homer. What do you want? We record in D.C. I care about the Skins.
And I love to make fun of the Skins, so please.
Me too. Don't get me wrong. I love them, but they're dysfunctional. It's caring about your family that's a bunch of degenerates and will never do anything with their lives. Haynesworth says RG3 will learn about quote-unquote conniving Shanahan. Asked on Tennessee Sports Radio. Thought I was going to say Tennessee Sports Radio show. There's professionalism right there. To give his side of the story after being ripped by former teammate Chris Cooley, Haynesworth said the real problem in Washington was that he played with a dysfunctional franchise, which a lot of people would say was the case before they cleaned house and actually got a GM in place instead of Vinny Serrato, who was kind of Dan Snyder's butt puppet. But he goes on, I mean, it's like you can't win with that team. And you think it was just me? Look how he did Donovan. See what's going on with RG3. I met RG3. He seemed like an extremely nice guy that's willing to work. He's going to learn, I hate to say he's going to learn, about Shanahan, how he's conniving. and everything like that, and he's not going to help him out. He goes on to say that he kind of regrets the bust he's perceived as and really wishes he did not come here for the loot. Is this Albert being Albert, or is Shanahan a real piece of shit?
I think it's good to hear Albert admit that it was a mistake for him to leave Tennessee. Like, he should never have left, and he does seem to understand that now, that it was not a good idea to go for money when he could have been. I'm not going to say he would have been, like, in the Hall of Fame and he continued with Tennessee, but he would have been put in a position to succeed had he stayed with that franchise. And I don't think he ever really had that in Washington, so I think it's fair.
No, he was a disciplined case, if you ask me, and needed a certain style of coaching to keep his ass in line. Washington was unable to provide it, and he reverted to being the shit sack that he is.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, like...
I hate the guy personally. I don't get me wrong. I think Shanahan is a goddamn snake, but I also think Fatso would have problems with anyone in a position of authority.
As the outsider watching the situation,
do you remember him failing conditioning tests, quitting on plays, that infamous gif that made the rounds of him just falling and literally lying there like, God damn it, blow that whistle so I could stand back up.
You know that advice I give you where it's like, don't date someone that cheats on someone with you? Like, don't date that person. Like, you can sleep with them, but don't, like, decide to make them your next girlfriend or boyfriend.
You needed to give me that advice before I dated my cheating ex.
But no, like, that was my impression of Haynesworth when he got that shady contract from the Redskins at the 11th hour. So the Titans complained about the way the Redskins did business. And in my mind, I'm like, Titans, why do you want to keep around a guy that's going to go for that at the 11th hour anyway? I understand it's a lot of money, but at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. He showed his true colors, man.
So to me, it was like before he even got to the Redskins where I was like, not sure I necessarily want that guy on my team anyway.
I've learned a lot about this league through the years. And when he came, I was young and dumb and full of hope. I thought it was a great signing. I was like, look at this beast. That's not a sexy position. He's a fucking fat shit bruiser nose tackle. And he's just good at what he does. And he's going to make an immediate difference. And boy, did he, in all the wrong ways. I really try not to remember those days when they were just still the spectacle of the league. And really, they've managed to harken back to it recently with the whole drama of RG. Like, just that span of games last year when they were 3-6 and they rattle off their, what, 7 in a row?
Yeah.
To go 10-6. That was the only time where they were known for good things in the league. All of a sudden, he rips his fucking knee out. It's the whole drama of, did Shanahan keep him in? Did he keep himself in? Did Shanahan have to keep him out? And they've been drama ever since then, again. Because RG3, dude, this isn't a popular opinion in the city, maybe. He's a dick. Like, I got no real love for the guy. Like, I'll love a winner. Don't get me wrong. But he's a fucking prima donna egomaniac. Now,
he's only like 22, man. That's what you got to keep in mind. Like, how? You thought a lot of yourself about 10 years ago. I got to be real.
Well, I did, but I have horrible self-esteem. Like, this is a man who's accomplished things with his life. But yeah, you hope he gets his fucking head together before his body shredded the way he plays. Speaking of sideshows in D.C., we also have Fred Davis admitting to sleeping in meetings and wanting out. And he tries to play it off by saying, quote, I never slept through a whole meeting, but I've nodded off. I mean, everyone nods off. It's dark in there. You nod off, you wake up, go get something to drink, and go back. I've done that.
And these guys got to wake up early. That's the thing. Like, people are going to get mad, but I'm like, how many people who watch the NFL are up by like 4, 5, 6 a.m.?
I don't really know the time of video viewings for them. It's just...
I'm just saying, they got to wake up. They got to do all kinds of things. They have a very full schedule. I mean, when you make that much money and like you have to do a physical activity.
And I think that's what anyone reading this is going to walk away with. Again, we do not know the rampancy of this. It could be literally everyone nods off at some point, like he's saying. But for me, you're like, this man is paid to play a game and he can't stay awake.
See, no, I look at it different. That's how you're going to look at it. I'm saying people should understand, like, these guys work, what, like, even the laziest NFL players probably still work in a solid 50 to 60 hours a week, right?
It's a long damn week.
Yeah. And like the more studious ones, if you will, are probably spending a little extra time looking at the
But like some CEO who's working 60, maybe even 80 hours a week, is it ever okay for him to just nod off in a meeting with the Japanese? They'll eat us alive, Howard.
Well, that's no, see, that's a meeting with like an
outside the house.
Yeah, but if you're talking about the meeting with the Japanese and you nod off, you're just gonna like ask the guy next to you, hey, did you get the notes on that?
You still look like an asshole to other employees, though. You're a laughing stock.
If you've ever gone to a meeting where your boss is a moron and is just wasting your time, I think that's the real takeaway from this is Fred Davis believes that Mike Shanahan is a moron wasting his time. And, yeah, Kyle, too, right? I guess his problem is more with Kyle.
Kyle's the real shit smear, if you're going to ask me. But, again, Shanahan, I don't know if he survives the season.
Here's the biggest problem. Going back to, like, Tennessee and how I felt about Haynesworth when he left Tennessee. One of the things I liked about Bud Adams recently died, a longtime owner of the Titans.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
Remember when he fired Jeff Fisher?
I just remember the double pumper when he just double birds the crowd, and he's like 88.
So check this out. He fired Jeff Fisher. It was right after the Vince Young thing, where he really wanted Vince Young to be the quarterback. Jeff Fisher didn't want him.
Oh, yeah.
He ended up finally cutting Vince Young for Jeff Fisher. At the end of that season, Jeff Fisher says, I'm going to hire my son as like, a second assistant coach or something. It was like a low position on the team.
Pretty much what like Andy Reid hired his junky son.
Well, higher than that.
Okay.
Higher than that. It was like an actual coaching position. So Bud Adams was just like, you're fired.
So he was
no
higher.
No nepotism. I hate it.
He said, was higher than a Tommy boy, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
So he just said, no nepotism. Jeff Fisher's fired. Even though he's like the longest tenured coach in the NFL, like had he stayed in Tennessee, he was just like, you're out of here because you tried to hire your son. What does Mike Shanahan do the second he gets to Washington but bring his own motherfucking son in as the offensive coordinator? Come on. Really? Is that guy good enough to really call plays in the NFL? Because I don't think so.
Did he not do fairly well with Houston? Is my memory shady on that one? I thought he was fairly accomplished with Houston. As much as I want to call it nepotism, I thought he did good things with their offense.
Was that Gary Kubiak as the head coach? Because Gary Kubiak has a good offensive scheme.
I think it was Kubiak as the head coach, and then Kyle was the offensive coordinator.
I got some issues with the way Kubiak calls plays, but I'd say in general, he's known as an offensive-minded coach. So I don't know how much you can credit Shanahan as much as the mentorship he got from Kubiak. But at any rate, like I have a problem with him working with his dad. Even if he is like qualified for the position, people like me are always going to be like, did he deserve that job or did he get it because daddy got it for him?
I mean, that's how I'm going to view it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a problem with Shanahan
and
for that.
And especially if the offense is floundering.
Because, like, who is Fred Davis supposed to go to when the offensive coordinator is wasting his time to complain? Like, hey, your offensive coordinator, he's wasting my time. It's like, oh, that's your son. I'm not going to bring that up to you. Can't do it.
I make a good point. I don't know, man. It looks bad in D.C. I don't know what else to say. RG3 just now seems like he's healing, but they're just it harkens back to the good old days, if you will. It seems like there's a lot of drama, and maybe that's really any team when you analyze them deeply enough, but it always seems that that is closer to the surface with the Skins.
Let me tell you the best thing I could have for the Skins right now. This whole name change thing. Force Dan Snyder to sell the team. Would you change the name of the team to get him out as owner? Would that be worth it to you?
I would change them to the Washington Gaped Assholes to lose him as an owner. Are you kidding me? And it would literally just be the fucking goatsy guy on the side of the helmet. I would care less. As much as he stepped away, I still don't think he's still not my favorite owner by a wide margin.
No. And nobody's excited to play for his organization.
And I think the GM they got, I don't care for Allen all that much.
Yeah, another case of nepotism, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be qualified to do that job. I wouldn't know because his dad is like one of
Well, I've heard he isn't that hands-on. He's more of like a, hey, come play golf with me type GM.
Oh, geez.
And it's really Shanahan who's doing most of the personnel.
Ugh.
Which, again, I don't like. You need that separation of church and state, man.
Yeah, because I think with coaches, they're like Pete Carroll or Andy Reid, where what they really want is just an ability to be like, basically veto power. It's just like, hey, this is what I kind of want. Like, giving you an idea, GM, look on the market. You're the guy who's going to be able to know the labor force out there.
Yeah.
But if they show up and it's like, hey, I really want this guy. And you're like, please no. Please no. I got to say no because I'm not going to play him. That's all you really want as a coach.
Yeah.
And then so, like, yeah, going back to Jeff Fisher, he really just, like, didn't want Vince Young on his team. And the owner was like, screw you. And I think like Holmgren always had that problem too. He always, when he was coaching, just wanted to be like, nope, don't like that guy. Never would play him. Don't know what he's going to do in my system. Please don't draft him. That's all you want as a coach. Instead of just having this guy, like, look at the numbers. You know, his Wonderlick was pretty good. I like his 40 time. You know, it's just like, no.
I like your white guy from the Baby Got Back video voice.
When we met, that piece of shit stole my coffee and didn't apologize. You know, like, that's, for some coaches, that might be all they need to know to, yeah, like, not draft a guy. So,
moving on. Trade deadline comes and goes. Nothing really happens. I think literally the Eagles traded like an offensive lineman and a sixth round pick for a fifth round pick to the Patriots. That might have been it. It's kind of par for the course. There aren't a lot of blockbuster trades that take place right at the deadline.
I'd say the more interesting thing that happened this year is now that you have less practice, and, you know, basically in the preseason, you're not as certain coming into week one now what you have.
Yeah.
We saw a couple of like pretty interesting trades and roster moves in the first month of the season because people were like,
oh, yeah. Well, that Richardson trade, I'm sorry. Like, even if he hasn't turned out to be much, the third pick of the draft the season before, that just does not happen.
He's made the offense for the Colts better.
He has. It wasn't a bad trade. No, I mean, if they get like 6 years, 7 years out of the guy, it's a fine trade.
He might be the difference between them scoring in the red zone and not. I mean, I get on his case on the show just because he's not
like
a true
you.
Running back.
I'm with you. I have seen him multiple times because the Colts have had the hot hand lately.
Yeah.
The dude is nothing special. Jim Brown was right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He just is nothing incredible in the NFL.
And, you know, it's not even hate on Alabama because I look at Eddie Lacy. I'm like, Eddie Lacy's killing it this year.
Yeah.
He's just destroying the competition. It's awesome to watch the Packers run the ball.
Me just shitting on running backs because I'll still watch AP and just like, yeah. How goddamn it. And I feel worse for AP than maybe anyone else in the league. The way he has to give up his body. For what? For what? Has he, like, especially, except for that first year with Favre, has he ever been on a contender?
What's sad is the second biggest move, speaking of the Vikings, in this, you can't call it a trade, but the biggest like roster change has been Josh Freeman to the Vikings because they're so hard up for any sort of success from the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And how's he been doing?
Horribly. Yeah. Horrifically. And really, it's Richardson all over again. Is it just the situation this guy in, or is he a raw talent? And people grab him, they're like, oh, clearly he has raw talent. It's just a bad situation. Well, prove him wrong. To quote Principal Skinner, prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong.
I do wonder to myself, and I don't know why I waste time on this question, but who is worse, Christian Ponder or Josh Freeman?
Ooh, I'm going to say Ponder because Freeman had glimpses of good.
So here's the flip, though. Like, Ponder's been looking at that playbook for a little while now, and Freeman's kind of learning on the job. So
yeah.
At the moment, who's going to be better for the Vikings?
Probably Ponder.
He's pretty bad,
he's
though.
He's predictable mediocrity.
No,
Freeman
he's
seems
less
like
than
he could
that.
Just, like, flip a bunch of picks out of nowhere.
Ponder's pretty good at doing that, too.
I don't know, man. Fuck it. They should have gotten rid of Jared Allen. Instead, Jared's just obviously leaving at the end of the season. They're not going to be able to afford him.
They probably didn't get very much in return for most of the trade
I guess that
offers.
Is it, but wouldn't you want to see what you could get? What do you think Jared Allen could be swapped for right now? Anything higher than a fifth?
You'd be lucky to get a fourth.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because you're getting him for like half a season and a playoff run.
You're getting him for very little, and then you're stuck probably having to re-sign him for Christ knows what.
And yeah, like he's going to test the free agent market no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what. So you don't have like a guarantee that he's going to come back because of loyalty.
Hell
for
no.
Eight games. Come on.
Hell no. Yeah.
Higher than a fifth round pick would be a lot.
Gonzalez breaks my heart, man. Tony Gonzalez just having to sit on the fucking Falcons.
I still think the Falcons could make the playoffs.
They could. The fucking Redskins could make the playoffs.
Well, they can win their division, which is pathetic, but it's true. Like,
but
they
I mean,
could
if
actually
you're,
win their division.
Aren't the Falcons and the Skins literally the same record? Or one's like 2-5 and the other's 2-6 or some shit?
Yeah, but I mean, aren't they playing each other, the East and the South, this year? I can't remember.
I think we thought that and it wasn't the case. I think the East is actually playing the North.
Oh, and
because
then, so
the
it's the West.
Because have the
Skins
not already played Bears, Packers and who the hell did they get? The Lions, right? Yeah, they've already played three of the four North.
Yeah,
games.
You guys are playing the North because like the Dallas versus Detroit game.
Yeah, yeah. So they got the North this year. And who's their AFC again? Are they? Oh, they're South, right?
So you guys have the AFC West, which is why like.
Oh, they're West. Okay, never mind.
Well, NFC East has AFC West.
That's right, yeah, because Chargers are this week for the Skins, correct? I think so.
My internet's not working in this room, man.
I believe that's the case. I could be off. I know it will fall squarely under the umbrella of probably won't give a shit about this game. I'll watch it. It's Redskins. It's Chargers.
Hey, come on, man. The Chargers, I think.
That's what I'm saying. The Chargers are one of those teams. I'll usually keep on for the hell of it.
If the season ended today, I believe the Chargers have the last wild card spot in the AFC.
No shit.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Another week, another Dallas meltdown. How great was that? Megatron having a quote-unquote historic day, I believe 8 or 9 yards shy of the all-time receiving record.
Yeah, he had 329 yards receiving. Record is 336 for a guy who got some yardage in overtime. So
He
set the regulation record for sure.
It should be capped at that. He should have the crown then. I'm sorry. I'm 61 with an asterisk, baby.
It's just it's a weird stat because, I mean, if you look at the top 10 like single game performances in rushing or passing, you pretty much know all those guys. But when you look at guys who had like the best days receiving in NFL history, you're not going to have a lot of names jump out at you that you're like, oh, I remember that guy. He's a modern Hall of Famer. I mean, there's a lot of old names on there.
It's a fluky stat, you're saying?
It's a bit fluky, yeah. Because I'm trying to remember. I've seen guys get 250 yards in a game. That's half their production for the season. It's just whatever matchup.
He was just the guy that they went to that game.
I think one of the problems when you do a pass defense in the NFL is like you isolate in such a way that sometimes you underestimate like a second or third receiver's speed compared to your cornerbacks. And so because your scheme is not really set up to do more than have like man coverage on him with somebody a little slower, it's going to be a tough adjustment throughout a game. So I've seen bunches of guys who get 200 yards just randomly. And that might really be like half their production for the year.
No, you're right. A guy a couple pegs down the totem pole.
But anyway,
that
like
might have been where he shined. And then everyone's kicking their fantasy ass.
There's no question, though, that Calvin Johnson's the best receiver in the NFL right now because he does it every week.
Guy's amazing. Des Bryant wanted to act like he could hang with him.
Des Bryant's pretty good, man.
He's not bad, but everyone, of course, there's the two different shots of him just losing his shit on the sideline during the game. It turns out the one where it looks like he's screaming at Tony Romo and everyone's like, well, that Negro obviously is crowing to get the ball more. And he was just screaming at Tony, like, you're the best, we're the best, you know, really trying to pump him up. Him getting into it with Witten at the end, I don't know how much he could play that one off. That was literally two guys getting in each other's face.
Yeah.
But again, it would be hilarious if it was like, I love you more, man. No, I love you. We don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's always hilarious when anyone tries to guess from the outside about anything. We simply do not know. We do not know a shred. It's comical how off the media was on that. Like, literally, the stories of the game. Calvin Johnson kicking ass. Matt Stafford's hilarious holding the ball like the Holy Grail as he runs it in through a bunch of standing defenders. Yeah. And then story three is Des Bryant chewing his teammates out for, you know, underperforming and not getting him the ball enough.
Hey,
instead, he's playing cheerleader.
And I got to call the media out for one more thing on that game. So, I mean, Detroit wins by a point, right? And everybody's just,
I believe it was 31-30, right?
Everybody's praising Calvin Johnson for having like this historic performance, but what I didn't see a single time mentioned is he fumbled the ball like in Lions territory, and that led to a field goal for the Cowboys.
I didn't actually get to watch the game. Like, I saw maybe 10 minutes.
It was a bad fumble. Like, he shouldn't have given it up, and he knew it. I mean, like, I'll say this, though. If they had lost that game, he would have had to take some of that on his own shoulders because, like, his fumble directly led to a field goal, and that was almost the difference in the game.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a guy who had like this amazing performance, but he could have he nearly contributed.
Winning washes away all sins, sir. What do you want me to say?
I would just like the media to be able to point out, like, good for Calvin that he was able to be on the winning side of this, because literally he could have had one of the greatest days It would have been Romo-esque if he had had one of the greatest performances in NFL history, only to lose because of a turnover.
Manages the GOAT.
Yeah, it's just like, like I was very disappointed in sports media. Nobody mentioned that, where it's just like, he almost cost his team the game despite a huge day. So,
Well, I wanted to move on to next week's games, but I think we have to acknowledge just how badly the Skins shit the bed against Denver. We can move on. We just literally are acknowledging it. They're up 21-7, and I laughed like, oh my God, Denver's going to brick two in a row. What does this say about my golden boy, Peyton? Well, it says he can play like a motherfucker still, and he's got a lot of heart because he fucking kicked the shit out of them after that.
Yeah, but beating a shitty team doesn't really prove a whole lot of anything, so.
It proves you get the job done when you have to, just like Seattle did against the Rams, where everyone's like, oh, they're winning ugly and they're barely winning. You know what, man? You chain together enough barely wins. Guess what? You're at that 7-1.
See,
I'll take a bunch of shit wins over being 5-3 in close games.
Now, let's talk about the difference between Seattle and Denver real quick. Because to me, Seattle, they're going to play the Saints in the regular season.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to struggle. That could be a blowout.
Where
actually.
Are they playing at?
I can't remember. I think it is in New Orleans. But
is it? They'll lose. Mark my words, if it's in New Orleans, they will lose.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I remember this now. It's in Seattle.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
It's in Seattle. So, like, New Orleans could theoretically play Seattle twice this year, both times at Seattle.
Oh,
which is
God.
Rough.
New Orleans really needs to beat Seattle in Seattle the first time.
You think the first time? Oh, yeah.
Because
that would put that would
the
give
path
them,
through the Superdome,
yeah,
man.
They really need that one. But I'll say this. Like, the Saints still look like the better team, clearly, than Seattle.
I think so. Like I said, they're more explosive on either side.
It's just Denver is going to go up against the Chiefs twice upcoming. And I just don't see.
How did that happen? Who the fuck walked into this season and even like with a smirk said, yeah, we all know Denver is the cream of that AFC West crop, but they're going to have to go through the Chiefs twice to prove it. Everyone was just like, let's see what Andy does with this shit. And they're at 8-0.
Keyshawn Johnson picked KC is his preseason favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Are you shitting me?
I mean, it's smart. Like,
if he does that, holy God.
Well, like, it's smart to go against the grain because you'll be the one guy. Because if you just pick Denver, you're like everybody else.
Exactly, and they'll probably fall short. Like, even a favorite is what, like 15% odds to win 20?
Plus, like, no offense, homie, but that's Peyton Manning as your quarterback. Like, I got to be with Jim Irsay on this. Like, he tends not to win in the playoffs. So.
Yeah. He doesn't have the best playoff record, and he's older and brittle.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Apparently
how this...
both his ankles are fucked up right now.
Well, he's wiser, so let's see if he's learned something. And the rules are way more favorable to his style of play anyhow, so.
Well, yeah, every year that you can touch the quarterback less and less is a good thing for Peyton.
They can't even touch receivers now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, he's got as good a shot as ever to win. But I'll say this, like, with the two games upcoming against Kansas City, I will be stunned if Kansas City was, like, in either of the games. Because, like, you look at the 8 victories they have going into the bye week this week.
Very soft teams.
None of them have a winning record today.
Currently, yeah. When they played Dallas, I think.
Dallas
had a winning record at the time.
No, but they're 4-4 today.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm just like, Kansas City has yet to beat a team with a winning record.
Again, though, I'm going to play the whole any given Sunday card. And if you got the job done over and over, even against weak teams, because no team is just, this year at least, completely maladroit.
Even the Jaguars in that game where everybody was like, can you believe the spread with the Broncos?
Yeah.
They played pretty tight into the third quarter.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Even the fucking Jags, who by far are the shittiest team in the league this year.
They might be one of the shittiest teams we've ever seen put together, though. It's that bad, man.
Really?
Offensively, I feel terrible for their defense because the defense
is not an
atrocity.
I have not watched a damn thing.
But that defense was not built to like hold the other team down for 40 minutes of a game.
They're not the 85 Bears defense. They're not the 46. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying that offense, like it's just impossible. It is just impossible for them to keep up in the current league.
Well, let's get to... Is that your phone creating distortion on the mic?
I don't think so, is it?
I don't know. Maybe mine. Something's making horrible distortion.
Is it in the room?
No, it could just be headphones. I don't know. Let's just...
It's your headphones, man.
Okay. I got 3 games this week that I think are worth a damn. The first is Falcons at Panthers, just because I felt I was going to have to make more of a case for this, but you went on the record saying you feel the Falcons can still postseason it.
I think, yeah.
If they lose against the Panthers at Carolina, mind you, Carolina rather resurgent lately, are you prepared to stick a fork in them?
I would need to see seven losses from the Falcons before I could do that. I think somebody could make it with seven losses into that second wild card.
Well, Carolina is currently at, what, 4-3?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And they,
so
yeah,
they sit firmly ahead of the Falcons.
Yeah.
Especially if they win here.
And their defense is killing it right now. You look at the stats for Carolina's defense, they're pretty good.
Really?
Cam Newton's not having as great a season as they would probably like in Carolina, but you know what?
I thought the story was the past 3 weeks he'd been doing great.
Yeah, he's improved. It's just that first month was kind of ugly, I think.
I gotcha. Second game I have, Saints at Jets, only because the Jets have taken turns this season, winning, losing, winning, losing. This is their win week. Do they make a game of it? I think they do. I think this could be, again, ask me at the end of the second quarter to eat a nice shit sandwich over these words. I think this could be a Jets win.
I just can't see it.
I could see it.
I think Geno Smith, though, is a lot of fun to watch. So it's definitely
He's so inconsistent. It is fun.
Yeah.
Is it his good day or his bad day? Again, is it his win week or his lose week?
What I like about him most, though, good or bad, he hangs in there tough. I mean, he's a legit quarterback. I think he's in the Joe Namath like tradition of just like playing the position no matter what it takes to win. It may
maybe
not
you'll
look
win
pretty,
even with more picks than touchdowns.
Yeah.
And last but not least, just a divisional, Bears at Packers. I think the Bears get buried. They're out of the division. They're out of playoff contention.
That quickly.
Yes.
Funny how
yes.
quickly it turned.
First of all, it's the Bears. They've been good at this lately where they look hot for a while, especially with last year Cutler going out. I believe they started right around this. It was like, what, 7-1 or something like that?
And then they just, well, Forte like got injured is the big thing.
And then went like 2-5 after that. I mean, they just completely faded down the stretch, missed the postseason. Cost everyone their damn jobs, if I recall.
I don't think they're going to get blown.
Lovey left.
I don't think they're going to get blown out of the water. I think that's a game of two teams that can score on offense. And their defenses are not necessarily going to stop one another. So
I don't know. I think Cutler's trying to get back in time for this one. I could be wrong, but he said he wanted to surprise everyone and come back a little faster with his torn nutsack than you'd expect him to. I'm just putting it there because it's divisional and it's the Monday night game. I'm not expecting much from it. I think the Packers have kind of cemented their position, if not at the top. I'm certainly looking forward to when the Lions play him again, this time with Calvin Johnson. And now I'm staring at you texting.
No, like I was trying to. I know you missed a game, like one of the four, like
one of the good ones.
Here's the game that you missed that I think is going to be really interesting.
I'm listening.
Indianapolis, Houston, at Houston.
And this is interesting. Why?
Because Indianapolis is kind of on the rise at this point. Houston's the defending divisional champ. And this is what I'm talking about with 2-5
teams. They were the divisional champ for one goddamn year, right? Or no, two.
What's that?
They've had two seasons where they've been the divisional champ, and they were the Colts doormat for like 10 seasons before that.
But here, like new Colts team, you know, this isn't Peyton Manning's team anymore.
Absolutely
so.
Correct, yeah. They've blown up everything, more or less.
Indianapolis has to go to Houston and make a statement that they're going to take the AFC South on Sunday.
I have zero doubt they will. Houston has looked horrific the times I've seen them play.
I mean, it's not great that they have a rookie quarterback stepping in, but I'm telling you, man.
Undrafted, right? It's a Romo situation.
Well, I thought it was unfair because I watch college football unlike you. And like Case Keenum.
I dabble. I haven't touched it the last couple weeks.
Case Keenum looked good enough to play in the NFL, in my opinion. I thought he would have been like a 7th-round pick or something. I was a bit surprised that nobody touched him. Because he set the record for most passing yards in a college career, I think. And he wasn't playing against really shitty teams. They weren't great teams.
That's why I don't care much about college ball. These guys can do that much in college and they walk out. The NFL could not be bothered to take a piss on them.
But there's an eye test where it's like, he can throw the ball pretty far. I just remember watching some of the highlights. I'm like, damn, that's far. And I'm like, he's hitting that guy in stride on a long pass. Like, last I checked, I think that's pretty hard.
All right, you sold me. I'll watch it. I'll give some sort of credence to it.
I was looking at Houston's schedule. If Houston can beat Indy this week, they're probably going to end up 6-5 heading into the next matchup with Indy at Indianapolis. And so, like, that game will be even sexier if Houston can win this week, because then they'll be breathing down the necks of the Colts, and it's make or break for that team. We've never seen this Colts team be a legitimate contender. And so this is the first time we're going to get a taste of whether they're able to handle the pressure of being, like, in a position of a favorite.
Well, on that note, do I hit the outro? You got any other games for me?
I just made a point.
I'm just shut up.
I just silenced me, lad. I had to tell you, like, Indy Houston is going to be a good fucking game this week.
I'll be watching. Screw it.
Like you're saying, it's not a great week. Not a great week of football. No, but I think that's a good game.
And last week, it was the same thing when we had Burnsy in.
Yeah, no, you got to generate some interest in some of these games. And I really think, despite Houston looking...
I don't work for the NFL. I don't have to generate shit. I have to generate interest in pfpod.com.
No, but I'll let people know when games are bullshit. I will definitely let people know when games are bullshit. So, yeah, don't watch Baltimore play Cleveland. Oof. And I live in Baltimore, you know? I'm like, I just can't watch it. I just can't do it.
I'm not touching that one. You've made it through another Papa's Football Podcast. I'm your host, John Papagiorgio. I was joined today by Howard Flood. Papa Football Pod is the Twitter handle, and pfpod.com, the website. Go there for our iTunes subscription link. That's what we need you to do more than anything. Subscribe on iTunes and tell your friends. Also give my other sites a viewing, in papasbasement.com for my main radio show, and thespookiescomic.com for a webcomic I do. I think that's it. Howard, anything you want to plug?
Nah, I'm good, man. It's just been good to be back here. I'm tired of being in Montana.
Was nice to have you. And we're out.